141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the dust begins to settle on a potentially decisive Monday evening game in the Scottish Premiership title race. Hearts with that 3-point advantage. How does that leave them? Where does it leave Celtic? Is Rangers' title hope over? We move on already early in the week, but ahead to another big weekend where Celtic and Rangers play each other and the leaders go to Fir Park, and the race to join the Premiership is underway because Dunfermline edge out Arbroath in the quarterfinal first leg of the playoffs. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got that Partick Thistle duo, Alex Ray and Tony Watt. Wee bit of scouting last night, was it? Wee bit of analysis, feet up, waiting to see what happens in these playoffs.
Yeah, feet up, just on the TV watching it. There was two games on last night and I found myself watching the Scottish Championship over the Champions League. So
obviously.
Yeah, times have changed.
No decision to be made there.
I think if it was PSG Bayern tonight, I'd maybe have made a different decision. But no, it was an interesting game. Dunfermline well worth their win, but Arbroath came on it strong at the end of the game. And look, the playoffs, as we know, are exciting. And look, long may it continue.
How'd you find that preparation period? Is it striking that balance between the rest that you need and then not coming off it too much whilst Dunfermline are still, you know, going through the previous round and are both?
I think Mark obviously got the experience from last year, and he was actually saying that you just could bounce straight into these playoffs, Gordon, and there's no really any time to, you know, kind of get any downtime as such, and, you know, it's very much full on. So I think the week's done as well. I think we highlighted to the boys it was important to kind of go down tools and then but come back real focused for this push, really.
And what about the top flight then? It's been a dramatic week. It's been a dramatic month, season. It's never ended. But the finishing line's in sight now, and you can almost start to have your more accurate predictions about how it's going to end up.
Yeah, well, listen, I think it's down to two now. Obviously, Hearts were excellent the other night. I thought the way they responded to the first half performance, you know, Rangers were really dominant with the ball, but just not clinical enough at the top end. But the spirit they seem to have is incredible. The fact that they are undefeated at home as well is a real bonus for Derek McInnes. And they're really building some real, real momentum. You know, they've had that consistency all season, but they're, as you rightly said, they're gone. I think the finishing line's very close, and I think they can almost sense it. They're going to go on and try and win this.
Yeah, it's going to be a difficult weekend for Celtic to keep up the pace, because that game against Rangers will be massive. I think Hearts will have more than enough to go and get 7 points over the next three games, and that will see them through.
Because you were quite big last week, I'm sure, or last time you were on, we were sort of debating about what Celtic want out of this.
Yeah.
You know, whether it was a draw and all that sort of stuff. So based on that, you feel that was a bad result for Celtic the other night?
The worst possible result. When that second goal went in for Hearts, I think Celtic would have felt a bit of momentum lost. I think they would have been disappointed. The draw wouldn't have been bad. The draw would have also kept them Hearts within a point. They could have still drew with, obviously, Rangers and then fancied beating Hearts. But I think that's the worst possible outcome for Celtic at the weekend, and that will be a dagger blow to the title. And I think even though they haven't played a game, they'll feel like they've lost a game at the weekend.
I still can't get my head around this notion then that the Celtic fans might have celebrated if Asgard's header in the last minute and dropped under the crossbar.
100%.
Full celebrations?
No.
Not buying it.
Never ever.
01419511025. Get all your thoughts in on this title race then. Where are you sitting on it today? Maybe you Rangers fans, the emotions come out slightly since Monday, or maybe you're even more angry about it since the days have gone on. So please do get in touch. It was inevitable that last night we spent the vast, vast majority of the show talking about how poor Rangers were, talking about the title hopes being up in the air, talking about what it means for Danny Rule, etc. So plenty of time for more of that. If you want to elaborate, please do. But what about the other angles on this title race that Tony mentioned? Celtic fans, how are you feeling now? I'm sure there's always something nice in your head, the way you've lived your life. When you see Rangers lose, you see Rangers drop out of a title race, but it's a bit different this year. What did that result do for you? And Hearts fans, you were just couldn't get a word in edgeways last night, probably, for all the mumping and moaning amongst the Rangers fans. But how are you feeling? Are you getting that bus parade planned yet, or is it far too early? You're going to go to Fir Park on Saturday evening. So whichever side you sit on in this title race, we want to hear from you right now, please. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, how do you reflect now, a couple of days on? Where did it go wrong? What does it mean for Danny Rule? Celtic fans, was that a bad result for you, the way that Tony Watt says it is? Or have you got hopes that Motherwell do you a turn at Fir Park and then you go and win the game against Rangers on Sunday? And Hearts fans, come on, we didn't even really get much celebration from you last night because there were so many Rangers fans on having a good old moan about where it went wrong. So get those calls in nice and early and we'll work through it all between now and 8 o'clock. It is going to be some weekend, isn't it?
It's already set up, and I think the last 7 days of the split have just been made perfect, haven't they? It's Celtic can't drop points on Sunday, or Hearts can win the league on Wednesday, I'm sure. And obviously Hearts will feel the pressure on Saturday against Motherwell, 8 o'clock. I think they'll have enough to do it, but I think Motherwell drew a result against Hearts the way they've played against them this year. I think their best performances have came against Hearts, but Celtic still need to play Motherwell, and the game at the weekend, I'm not sure, based on recent form, Celtic will be favourites going into that game on Sunday.
Alex, obviously I think the Rangers angle is like the headline one this week, because if everybody's saying that's it done, are you, what's your thoughts on just how quickly it's gone after the split?
Life comes at you quick, Gordon, if you don't get results, and they obviously went to Spain. Gordon, I was actually on record as saying, leading up, because the big story was 14 goals in 3 games. And I was emphasising that they were conceding goals far too easy. You know, the teams that go on and win leagues tend to be stingy at the back, but they were just passing up too many opportunities and goals. And I thought that was a concern. And I was saying that I would expect them to have discussions in Spain that you need to shore it up a little bit. But for me, they were far too open. And it's proven to be that way. I think that's four games in the bounce where they've conceded two or more, which you go back to the early 90s. So for me, you know, at the back, they have become a bit fragile, and ultimately it's cost them this title run, Gordon, and you know, the fans are up in arms. And you know, when you're getting to the business end of the season, you're looking for that character, and it's interesting because you listen to guys like John Brown and that speaking, and they often talk about all these spells, you know, you need to be mentality kind of dogged and all the stuff that you need to play for a club like Rangers, and they've literally just caved in when it really mattered. You know what I mean? They showed a level of consistency under Danny Rule, but I think over the last 6-8 weeks they've dropped far too many points. You know, even on the road they dropped, was it 3 or 4 games where they dropped points, so ultimately in that, you know, the kind of run in has ultimately cost them.
Tony's on the line first. Tony, what's your take on all this then?
Well, for me, obviously, everyone's coming on saying the league's over. Mm-hmm. Technically, on points, it's not. If Hearts lose this weekend to Motherwell, which, funnily enough, it could happen, and Rangers beat Celtic, we're back to square one again.
No, you're not. Yeah, but much closer to the end of the season, though. Like, you know, that's not really square one in that regard. You still trail Hearts, don't you, by quite a bit?
Aye, we trail Hearts, but I'll always say it, until the last game of the season, this season is not over. Rangers can still win it.
I mean, listen, it depends what you're... I can't argue with the... Because nobody's saying it's arithmetically over. Like, we know it's not.
Rangers can't win the title. I think they can now choose where it's going, in terms of if they beat Celtic, it'll be Hearts as they'll have won half hands on it, but they can't win the title. There's no chance, especially in a 3-horse race, maybe a 2-horse race, mm-hmm. if a miracle happened, but there's no way that Hearts don't pick up, what is it, they need 2 points?
It's not everything, but I noticed that Opta supercomputer's got Rangers, it's a 1% chance, yeah. Alex. I know what Tony means, but it depends what we're arguing here, because no one's said, like, there's a factual argument to this where, of course, it's not arithmetically over, nobody's saying it is, but mm-hmm. 7 points behind... Hearts, Celtic are in between.
Yeah,
I'm very surprised, Tony, that you still think that's doable.
For me, anything's still possible at this time. Yes, obviously, usually by the end of this this time, like last season, the league's obviously over. But this season, it's still far too close.
But it's not that close, no. Is it? 7 points with 3 games to go, with a team in between the two of you. No, it's not that close.
All it takes is Hearts to lose, what, 2? And Rangers to win all 3, and that's it.
Two in a draw, even if they get two in a draw. You know, but look, listen, Tony, I think you've been really ambitious there to suggest that Rangers, and they do also have just, that 1%.
And I don't want to get too bogged down in all those permutations, but will Hearts play Celtic on the last?
So somebody's due a point.
So it would depend. You could then be in a scenario where Hearts might lose, but depending on what Celtic have done in the other game, a win for Celtic, they're still above Rangers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really ambitious to think that that's the case. Listen, I like his optimism, but the reality, even when you listen to Danny Rule post match, he looked dejected. He'd get into this game at the weekend as well on the back of back to back defeats. I think you had to go back a while for that, and I just think the actual, they're going into this game at the weekend. Celtic will have their tails up. They have the lion's share of the fan base as well. And I think it'll be very difficult for Rangers. I think you have to go back 2 years as well before, is that right, in the league, since Celtic last beat Rangers? Someone said that to me. So whether that's true or not, but you're going back a while. So I think when you consider that as well, I just think about how it's going to affect them on the back of that, because ultimately the league for me is done.
See, when you talk about, and go back to you said about mentality, Rangers have tried to fix it for years, but what do they do? Because they've tried to sign Scottish, they've tried to sign English, they've spent big money. What changes? Because every year it seems to be everybody's talking about mentality. You see it in the press, and you see Danny Rule saying it's not mentality. It must be, because Hearts have just went straight away, finished bottom six last year, and just went, we're going to take this title race in our hands, and they have got a core of people who know the Scottish game.
You've been right in there. What was that? Because on one hand, lots of people will agree with Tony and others who say it must be mentality, like there must be something. But then it's a different manager, pretty much a full different team.
Yeah.
What led to believe that, like, there's this unseen force in the corridors
that's basically
the Rangers training
question.
Centre that, you know, that affects your mentality over the years. That can't be the case.
Pressure to the club, maybe?
Well, no, listen, the one thing you can say about playing for Rangers that I never experienced when in our club was the scrutiny. You know, it was far, you know, the goldfish scenario. I never experienced that either. Now, there was always pressure to go and win games because of the demands of the clubs that I played for. Millwall, Sunderland were big at that time as well. So there was demands. But then you come up here and you're drawn at Aberdeen in the opening game of the season. It's like a disaster. And you think, what's going on here? So the expectations are higher. And the fact that over the history now, the last couple of decades, it's not been as fruitful as the previous time for Rangers. But historically, they've always picked up trophies. But the last, 15 years,
but that's probably what's hurt them, because how well they brought it back and gave everybody hope, and they were title favourites for a bit in this campaign, and the fact they got so close is maybe what, and we spoke about Butland and Schmeichel making the mistakes and then never being forgiven. Do you think the Rangers fans are going to be that with Danny Rowe, because they seem to be angry with him now because it was in his hands, and now they're 7 points away with 3 games to go?
So, listen, ultimately the manager will always get the flag for us and people will scream for it, but then you have to look at the players, because the thing is, when you're opening Gambit, what was it, the opening 8-10 games was absolute dire. They were kind of written off, and the fact that he got a tune out of them, but you're looking for that to continue, and obviously it's took a serious dent, and then ultimately what happens is you have the fan base that go, this guy's not for us, because they start questioning in-game management and so forth, these substitutions. His post-match becomes more scrutinised and things, so the magnifying glass comes on you when you don't get results.
Well, Tony on the line is not giving up. That's the first Rangers fan I've heard say that. It's always nice to hear a wide range of opinions. Let's go over to Stuart, who's on the other line. What are your thoughts tonight, Stuart?
My thoughts are about a player that's in Rangers just now. He's been injured, and if I'm right, if he got back when he first started with the Central Rangers, a player called Corin Barn, he's not getting his game. The last 2 or 3 weeks, he's been trying to get his game, and he's come on, he's changed the game. I think that's when maybe Rangers could have lost the league. He should have been playing that man, even when he was injured, obviously couldn't play him, but when he's coming back, he should have been on in the start. When he came on the last couple of games there, Rangers won the game, they were coming behind the goals again. I think if Rangers had kept Barn on, they might have been still in the title by now.
I think he was having a good spell, Connor. I think he was very... you know, the one thing you get with him is his conviction. You know, he's very dogged. He gets about people and things. And it was interesting because he was actually starting to take set plays and things as well, which was a bit more responsibility for him. And he was just coming on to a good game. But it'd be difficult to say whether you're challenging for a title on the back of that. I think, you know, when you look at, as I said, you look at it defensively. No, I know he would maybe have added because he's got the credentials to get about people and win balls back and so forth. But I just think over the piece, the consistency level with them throughout games, you know, they might get 20 minutes here, 30 minutes there. I thought at the weekend, 45. But it's when they're under the cosh, they seem to cave in.
Is there an issue there because of some of the recent performances where, on paper, you know, Nico Raskin would play ahead of Conor Barron, Tochi Chukwuanyi would play ahead of him and look good when he first came in. But if you're Stuart or you're a Rangers fan and you're looking over the Motherwell game, the Hearts game, maybe some of the others, you think, well, are they any better than him, or are they playing any better than him? Should he have been involved more?
I like Barron. I think he gets a hard time here, especially to start with Rangers, because where he came from, he was what, a free transfer or
a small 700 grand, I think they ended up
paying. It was a free transfer, but they had to pay in a tribunal, didn't they? Compensation. Yeah. I think if they'd went out and spent money on him, it would have been a different story. I think people think they want the glamorous signings, but I think he's probably done more in that number six role this season than Raskin. I'm just not a. We spoke about it last week. I think Raskin plays the game to suit his game rather than to suit Rangers, and that's not. Some players do that, and it sometimes helps the team. I don't know if he's the answer in the six role, because I think, or even in the eight role, I think Raskin. We talk about the running back. I don't think he's his team before Poyer, if that makes sense. I think Barron is. I think Barron's happy to do the dirty work and sit back and not go and chase a goal and not get yourself on a score sheet and not. I think Barron's more a team player, and I think, look, I don't know what his fitness levels are, and I know Danny Rowe trusted him for a long period of time and they were winning games, but he got injured and he's been out of the team for a reason, and I don't think Danny Rowe's not playing him because he doesn't like him. I think it's more to do with his body.
Stuart, the previous caller wasn't giving up hope, still thinks that chance the Rangers could pull it off. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to say if Rangers beat Celtic on Sunday, they'll win the league.
But what if Hearts have won the previous night and you stay 7 points behind them?
Don't know. It's just to make the way. Just get that. There's been that. I've never known a league like it since I've been watching Rangers. It's just been absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. You when you put your mortgage on it, who was going to win? Who's not going to win?
No, but what I mean is, you still need, like, you need Hearts to lose in that scenario, though.
Aye, if Rangers beat Celtic on Sunday, they win the league. But if they do beat Celtic, I still think Hearts are going to have a big sale. I think Hearts. If Rangers beat Celtic, it's got between Rangers. Rangers, Celtic, but you can't say this and say that. But I'm going to put my head right on it. I'm going to say if Rangers beat Celtic on Saturday,
Sunday,
I think they've got Sunday. I think they've got a great chance of coming back and winning it.
No, but they don't. If Hearts win the previous night, that's the point.
They can't win it. So listen, the thing is, Hearts could effectively end Rangers' title hopes this weekend.
Saturday. Yeah, if Hearts win Saturday, Rangers can't win the league. Is that right?
And even if Hearts draw at Motherwell, that stretches that gap to eight, and there's only two games. So
I know. Well, do you know the thing is, this is the great thing about all this is because you got these permutations going into the kind of last couple of games. However, as I said earlier on, I think it would be a miracle for Rangers to pull this off.
Well, you never know. That's a couple of optimistic Rangers, but I just didn't expect that this evening.
To be honest with you, I didn't expect it either.
01419511025. What about the Hearts and Celtic angle on all of this? Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
The Sleep Outfitters Memorial Day sale is on, and you can save up to $1,500 store-wide. For a limited time, save up to $500 on adjustable sets from Tempur-Pedic and Sealy. Or get a purple king mattress for the price of a queen. Plus, enjoy free next-day delivery and setup. And our exclusive lifetime price guarantee means you always get the best deal. Don't miss the Sleep Outfitters Memorial Day sale. Going on now. Save up to $1,500 store-wide. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
The voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here. 0141 951 1025 is the number. Lots of reflection to be done. That was a nice surprise, that thing. I thought we had sort of heard it all. Two Rangers fans, or I was going to say optimistic, I don't know if that's the right word, but not giving up hope quite yet. But it certainly looks like a long way to go. What about the Celtic angle on this, the Hearts angle on it? Let's hear from you, because there is so much football still to be played, yes, but clearly a very significant opening two matches post-split. We always knew it would be blockbuster. We always knew the implications could be massive, and it does look like that has been the case so far. Do you think that is part of it, Alex, the kind of the hope that kills you sort of thing that Tony mentioned, and that maybe they didn't see it? We all were gearing up for probably all three teams to go deep into this.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, like we said, well, it's only two games, and it looks like that's not the case.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was the expectation gone, to try and take it to the wire, try and get the important results, put pressure on Hearts and Celtic, and this just hasn't materialised like that at all. And I think because it's happened so quickly, you know, they've not even got a run for the money, and there's real anger out there about how it's actually played out. So, you know, and the thing is as well, they've actually seen this. If, even when you go back to my time with Clermont, you know, there was a period where you were kind of getting close and you were drawn level. But I think we may be a point ahead of Celtic. And then obviously when, and that's the thing is, once you get that pressure and then there's two or three points behind and you just can't quite get the next result, it's almost as if the wheels are coming off. And that's the reason why I'm pessimistic about getting into the weekend Old Firm game, because the mentality will be that we've absolutely blown this, you know. So you're then having to pick yourself back up and get into a really big game.
Tommy's on the line. Right, Tommy, you're a Celtic fan. Was that a bad result for you the other night?
I was one Hearts to win, and I was actually quite happy Hearts won. I think everybody's writing, I think Celtic's poor at the moment, but everybody seems to think Hearts have won this league. They've got to go to Celtic Park. They've got to go to Falkirk. They're playing Falkirk at Tynecastle, and they've got to go to Motherwell. They're not easy games. To think this league's over, I don't think Celtic have got the quality at the moment, but to think the league's over and see Hearts have won it, is, to me, is a nonsense.
Tell us what makes you think... That's two separate things, though, isn't it? Because you're right, obviously it's not over, but what makes you think that was a good result for Celtic the other night?
Because I don't want to say too much. I would rather just be Celtic and Hearts. To get them out of the equation is good for us. Because now Hearts, they've got three hard games coming up. I'm not saying they're not going to win them, but they've got... Falkirk is a good team. Motherwell's a good team. Celtic, not so good, but Celtic will beat them at Celtic Park. So the pressure's right on. Alex mentioned a couple of minutes ago when he was with Philip come on, we were 1 point ahead at one time, then he went a couple of points. It's a different story when you come to the end. See, come to the end, just trying to get it over that line. It's a lot different. It's a lot harder than what people think.
Yeah.
Celtic have got the experience.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think anybody said Celtic won't win the league. I think everybody's been saying Rangers won't, which I totally agree with. I think my opinion, I don't agree with that was a good result for Celtic. I think maybe if it was 30 games played, Celtic would be saying, right, 3 points. But the fact that Celtic can win their game against Hearts and still not win the league is...
Like if they both keep winning until then. Because Tommy's right, yeah, they play each other on the last day. But your worry would be then that it doesn't get to that.
Yeah, well,
or Celtic, that day you need to win by a certain
Celtic
amount of goals.
Celtic and Hearts both play Motherwell, right? Say they have the same result, and then you would probably, you'd need to agree that Falkirk at home is an easier tie than Rangers at home for Hearts. So the goal difference at the moment's 5 of a difference. Celtic would need to win 3-0, is that right? I don't see Celtic beating Hearts 3-0 at the moment.
Well, that's if everything is matched until then, obviously.
But I think Hearts have probably got a more favourable run in terms of to pick up more goal difference. Hearts have been really, really good at seeing off the teams below them. That's just what they've done all season. But I think the result the other day is borderline disaster for Celtic, that Hearts won.
Well, it's interesting. Obviously, Tommy spoke about who Hearts have got to play, but obviously Celtic still got to play Motherwell, Rangers at the weekend, and then obviously Hearts the last day of the season. So, you know, you look at the fixtures, and listen, I think they're all very difficult. And we've mentioned this over recent weeks, Gordon, where, you know, even down to Falkirk, Falkirk still have an opportunity to get that last European spot if Celtic won the cup. So there's so much riding in all these games. So everybody will be trying their bit. Motherwell has been, and we've seen this a couple of games ago at Ibrox. Motherwell, Hearts as well have really struggled against them. Is it mm-hmm.
two draws and the Hearts win?
Yeah, Hearts win. So they've always made it difficult. They were up 3-0 as well. So
how important is that fact that they go first then, right? Because see, all of this stuff kind of gets, you know, that's wiped out if Hearts go on Saturday night and win. And you can almost imagine how much that changes the Celtic minds. Because they're going to need, in theory, drop points at some stage. Or as you say, you're relying on winning 4-0, 3-0, whatever, on the final day. So if Hearts were to go and win even, you know, win well, whatever that does psychologically, on Saturday night, that really does change everything, doesn't it? Because you're just, you're another game down in which Hearts can't drop points.
Yeah, and I think Hearts have been good at that this season. When the pressure's been on them, they've won games. And I think only the Rangers game at Ibrox was the only wee blip. Every other one, if you take away the Astro games, which happens in this league, they've just seen off their opponents. I'd fancy Hearts to go and get at least 4 points in the next two games, and that would set them right up for a strong end to the season and to win the league. I think you've got to have Hearts as favourites, and now I think Celtic can win it, but they would need to really, really up their level, because the last few games have been okay, but they'd still need to up it for me.
Ultimately, Tommy, do you think Celtic will win it?
Well, I don't think they deserve to win it. Let's be truthful about it. I'm only being truthful. I don't think they deserve to win it. I agree with them, Hearts are the favourites, but mm-hmm. I think the pressure's on now. It's a different game now. You're going to have 3 games. I get what Alex's saying. Celtic have got hard games and all. 2 of them are at home. I think our hardest game is going to be Motherwell. That's one, my opinion.
No, and that's, you're entitled to. The only thing I would say about Hearts and the pressure, Alex, I mean, how long have we been saying this?
Yeah.
3 games to go. You know, yes, they might not win it. Yes, Celtic might outperform them within the remaining couple of games and pip them at the post. Does that automatically mean that, you know, it was all down to pressure? You're trying to tell me that there wasn't pressure on Hearts the other night? You're trying to tell me there wasn't pressure in the Edinburgh Derby? They have led all season long. And what we've done is we've kind of kept nudging it along and said, let's see what happens when the pressure's on. Let's see what happens when the pressure's on. And fair enough, it is just Tommy's opinion. Are we now led to believe that it's only now that the pressure's on? We can't keep bringing it forward every time that Hearts win a game.
I think Derek McInnes has highlighted this throughout the course of the season, Gordon. I think he's mentioned at various times, the bubble's going to burst and they're going to run out of steam. But you're going into the split, and that's the real business end. And they've got, everybody's going to go, Hibs, you know, poof. Yeah. And then all of a sudden took care of them. They got a goal behind against Rangers the other day, and you're thinking to yourself, oof, this is a real tester. What they have proven over the course of this season, Gordon, is that they have real character and real spirit. And whenever they have lost a game, like Tony says there at Ibrox, they've bounced back. They have a group of players, and they have a strength and depth as well now that they're actually making. The boy Spittle coming on the other day was just like, you think to yourself, he's made a real difference. So if you've got guys coming off the bench and kind of impacting games and things, then you've got a real strong chance. And you cannot, we obviously talk about mentality and so forth. They have shown that in abundance. They don't look to me as if they're going to kind of buckle anytime soon. And that doesn't mean that they won't lose a game, Gordon, because Motherwell have schooled them at times. They were 3-0 up throughout Tynecastle, Motherwell. So they're capable of getting results in any given day. You're going to Parkhead, the last game of the season. So I do not think for a moment that this league's done and dusted.
Thank you to Tommy. What about Thomas? Just going for the Sunday version. Thomas, how are you?
How you doing, man? Are you all right?
Yeah, what are you thinking?
I'm just thinking, I totally disagree with Tony. I loved his goal against Barcelona, by the way. But the thing is, that was a brilliant result for Celtic. Because if Rangers had beat Hearts, they had a great chance of winning that league. And if they won the league, they were going straight through to the Champions League. And that would have been a disaster for us. So I'm very happy that Hearts won, and it virtually puts Rangers out the game. So that's what I think, because they would have spent the money. They would have spent, if they were in the Champions League, they would have bought quality players.
But the thing is, Thomas, you're actually thinking about what Rangers are going to do. But the biggest challenge to this title is Hearts, because obviously that 3 points gets them closer to where they need to get to. And I actually think the draw would have been absolutely ideal for everyone concerned, particularly at Parkhead. I just think it's by the 3 points. They're running out of games.
I can understand where you're coming from, but see, to tell you the truth, after the season we've had, after what the board did, we employ Nancy, there's absolutely no way that, see, when Nancy got to the end, we'd already given up the league because we were that bad. I mean, this is the worst Celtic team in decades, mate. Honest to God, in decades.
But I keep always, this is where you're almost united, you two Glasgow teams here, Thomas. You know, look at Rangers fans last night. It was all sort of, look at where we came from. You're saying, you know, Nancy, but Thomas, there's 3 games to go and Celtic got a chance of winning the league. So you're in it. You've got to go and try and win it, surely. And Tony's point is, the result the other night gave Hearts a good chance of denying you that.
Without a doubt. But it also paved way to them getting chance at Champions League money. And we've still got a great chance.
Celtic would be, regardless of what happened the other day, Celtic would need to beat Rangers this weekend, right?
That's a definite.
Right, but Rangers would still have been a point behind Celtic, and Celtic would have been level with Hearts, 3-goal difference behind them minimum. So for me, that would have made Celtic favourites to win the league. Hearts momentum now. Hearts have just beat probably Hearts. Rangers have probably been a bigger challenge to Hearts in the last kind of 3-4 months. Celtic have probably picked up a lot more points at the start of the season, is what I'm trying to say. Celtic were in a better position
than Rangers
even when Nancy was there, because they were still in the mix. Rangers were out it. So Hearts went and disposed of Rangers the other day, and I'd probably still say that if they were going to Celtic Park looking for a draw, they'd be the perfect team to do it. McInnes knows how to get a defender on the park, knows how to set up to shut up shop. I think, and I'll double down on it, I think that's a disaster result the other day that Hearts won, because for me, they've got one hand in the title. Celtic now need to be flawless, and look at Celtic's results against Rangers in the past. Rangers will be desperate to kill Celtic. The same mentality you had there, that you don't want Rangers to do well, Rangers will have that for Celtic on Sunday. And I think that is a problem for Celtic, because Rangers, even though they've got nothing to play for, if Celtic are 1-0 up with 10 minutes to go, Rangers will throw everything at it because they don't want Celtic to win the league.
Plus also, you've got the Champions League for Rangers to try and kind of at least try and get second.
Yeah,
without a doubt. But Dyson's on form, Rangers' defence is rubbish, we're at home, and we've got Hearts and Rangers at home. But listen, Hearts have done magic, because the way that the order of the games that came out, they're away to Hibs, they're at home to Rangers, and then they're away to Motherwell. And Motherwell don't like Hearts. And by the way, Motherwell have played brilliant against Hearts. And they were 3-0 up in Drew at Tynecastle. And then that other week, man, when they got that penalty, man, for Stephen Walsh, absolutely ridiculous decision. So, and they're at Fir Park, and that's going to make a difference. I think they'll drop points tomorrow. The next game,
Saturday. Well, we'll find out. We're going to speak to Matthew, who's in Motherwell when we return. So he's a Celtic fan in Motherwell. He's all across the scenarios this weekend. But before we do that, if you've not seen it already, make sure you go to the Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube channel and watch Albert Kidd, The Heartbreak Season, hosted by Hugh Keevans. He heads back to 1986. You all know the story. The day Celtic won the league in goal difference after Hearts defeat to Dundee. You can relive all the events if you were there. You can learn a bit about it if you weren't. So it's well worth checking out. Albert Kidd, The Heartbreak Season, available on our YouTube channel. We'll speak to Matthew next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here. We're hearing all sorts of opinions and thoughts about this title race and where it may or may not go. Matthew's on the line. How are you, Matthew?
Very well, gentlemen. How are you doing as well?
Good, thank you, Matthew.
How you
are
doing?
A
good,
Celtic fan, Matthew. So what are your thoughts on how that was for you the other night and what it means?
Aye, well, first of all, Tony, God bless you, sir.
No, don't bring it up.
No problem.
Not allowed.
Every time.
We've banned it. We've had our nightly mention of it.
No. You've got to respect it. it's been one of the craziest seasons in football I've ever seen, to be honest. I mean, Hearts last week, amazing, fair play to them. They're smashing it. They've grinded it. results throughout the season. So hats off to them. They've done well. Relative to a few people I've heard, I listen to the show, you know, every night, every other night. A gentleman on earlier on saying Rangers are still going to win the league. It's confusing me. I don't know what planet these guys are on. You've got Hearts away to Motherwell on Saturday, 8 o'clock kick-off. That's not an easy game. That's a hard game. Hearts can drop points. I think it still gives us a good chance of going for the league. Fair enough, Hearts out after win, kind of pole position for that. But I think it's still wide open, to be honest. We need to see how the weekend goes, but still three games to play, and it's not a lot in it.
What's your take on the other night in terms of what it did for Celtic? Because there's been a real debate here. Tony's going really strong. He's calling it disastrous. There's other people then on the other end saying it was a brilliant result because it rules Rangers out. Are you somewhere in the middle, or are you leaning one way or the other?
I mean, it's a hard one to answer realistically. I mean, the ideal result in my eyes would have probably been a 0-0 draw, but all your wishes can't come true. I think even with Rangers kind of dropping out of the title race, let's say they're not mathematically out it, but let's be honest, not beat around the bush. They are out it. It's Hearts or Celtic that are winning this league. I think it bodes well. I think when the last game of the season, Parkhead, I think that'll be the title decider. Depending on how things go on Saturday with Motherwell, I think it's going to be a neck and neck game, 2-each draw I'm hoping for. But, your guess is as good as mine at this point.
I'm trying to figure out my own personal feelings on it. So I hope Motherwell beat them both, because then that's fine. And then nobody's gained any ground, and then we can get that last game and just see what madness unfolds. I appreciate we're now still arguing with the previous caller when Matthew's not making that point, but there are only three outcomes. There's Hearts win, draw, Rangers win. Whilst I think you're being quite strong about it being a disaster, I'm amazed that the previous caller not at least meeting in the middle then and acknowledging that surely a draw was at least better than what happened.
A draw, as much as you don't want Rangers to win as a Celtic fan, then you need to see the draw. I think he's looking at it as if Celtic are out of the title race and it's just between Hearts and Rangers, and maybe Celtic have got a small glimmer. Then it would maybe be okay if Celtic were 7 points behind Hearts with three to play, and it was Hearts to win a win the league or Rangers to have a chance to win the league, okay, that would maybe make sense. But there's no world which Hearts winning makes sense for Celtic the other day. I think Hearts can now, what is it, get beat the weekend, win midweek and draw with Celtic and probably win the league.
Possibly.
Even if Celtic beat, is that if Celtic win their first two games and then draw with Hearts?
You're now hurting my head, I don't know how I lost
you
5 minutes
I think
ago.
They can, as long as Celtic don't win, take more than 5 goals over Hearts. Yeah, so Hearts can basically win, lose and draw and win the league.
Do you know the interesting thing about all this is, because obviously we're focused on that last game and what the permutations could possibly be in terms of goal difference, but it could change over the next couple of games. And we've obviously got Matthew on the line here talking about, oh, it's a really difficult game at Motherwell, but Rangers v Celtic as well the following day would be just equally as difficult, because obviously Rangers have been there earlier on in the season. They're still chasing and they'll be hurting and they'll be trying to kind of claw this back in some way for their biggest rivals. And then ideally that would be, Hearts would be delighted with that.
I don't think just because you kind of have to do something or there's an onus on you means that you do it, because there was an onus in Rangers the other night and it didn't work out the way. But it's a proper bad situation for Danny Rule if he loses this at the weekend, isn't it? Because it's bad already, but you can just imagine the fallout for them.
Yeah, absolutely. To lose three games in the bounce, I think you'd have to go back to a considerable couple of years at least, and that would be a disaster. So he will really need to try and galvanise his players, Gordon, and believe me, they'll be on their knees at the moment, because from being in the hunt just before the split, now all of a sudden, for me, they're very much out of the race.
Matthew, thank you very much. Let's get a Hearts take on all this. We've been waiting patiently, Ross. I'm sure you know the way this show works, so you've probably been quite happy to listen to the Rangers fans distraught over the last couple of days and the Celtic fans scrambling around. How good was the other night for you?
It was great. It was brilliant. We were, if I put it in the perspective of the fact that Rangers had us in the first half, but I think the players were totally unprofessional. I think them playing about time wasting and everything else and not actually going to get another goal to kill the game, actually kill their chances and get their chances alive. The atmosphere around about Tynecastle was absolutely amazing. Before, during, after the game, I was there till 10:30 at night and I wasn't drinking, so it was absolutely amazing. It was like there was just car horns going off and everything. I was one of them, obviously, but yeah, it was a great night.
Seeing the other side of that, I was doing some work at Tynecastle during the day, and at about 2 o'clock, so it's like 3.5 hours before kickoff, there was quite a lot of fans already, just like milling around outside. It was sunny that day. You remember sitting in the kind of plaza out the front, sitting there, and I felt like you could sense it. I know it sounds a bit romantic and now easy to say when they've won the game, but 3.5 hours before kickoff, and then Ross is talking about how long it lasted after. It's feeling like it's.
I love
it's getting there.
What's the boy that sings the HEA RTS? Yeah. I loved that. I seen him getting a lot.
Is it Colin Chisholm?
I seen a lot of the stick he was getting, and I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was just.
No, he's getting stick from one daft English Premier League fan, and all of Scotland's jumped on him and told him he's talking rubbish.
I thought it was amazing. Just it's small things like that that just. It's different in Scotland, in the fact that everybody's, they got their fans in, and to be fair, people were putting in my group chats, I've got Celtic fans and Rangers fans in the group chats.
Have you?
And saying, the Rangers fans get muted. And they said, the twirly thing before, this is embarrassing. I think it's brilliant, anything to get behind your team, and I think Tynecastle's a place where that's one thing they can't be accused of, even my time there. They get behind you. They get annoyed at you or whatever, but they can get behind you. And it's a place where Celtic have always kind of had trouble going to in the past in terms of like the atmosphere. And I think if Hearts win the league, they're well worth it. I still do think Celtic can win it, but like you say about the atmosphere, Tynecastle.
And he's there, he's just up on the screen. There, look.
He's a hero, and he done it the night before to Player of the Year awards. And all the Hearts.
He did it against Aberdeen and Motherwell at home. I think that was the third game.
The Hearts players were all scared to join in.
If anyone's watching the live stream, we've got the.
The Hearts players were all scared to join in. I seen it. Cammy Devlin was half ready to pounce. I'd have had the arm round him and I'd asked to join in. He is a hero. Get him up Gorgie Road every single game.
Ross, how close does it feel? How confident are you?
As I said to you, Gordon, over the last couple of weeks, I'd said if we beat Motherwell, if we beat Hibs, I said if the Rangers game would take care of itself, if we beat Rangers, then I'm more confident, obviously. We've got Motherwell on Saturday night, which isn't an easy game, and the players will concentrate on that. Then Celtic have got probably what is, I think, is their biggest challenge, because Rangers will be in the dumps after that, and they'll want to prove a point. Yes, they're still mathematically in it, but not many people would say so. If Hearts go 6 points clear, then the Fall Cup game's going to be absolutely massive on a Wednesday night when people are mostly working, so. Thankfully, I'm not, so I'm already trying to get my digs for the night, just in case.
Oh, it's going to be, honestly, every game, and I'm already looking forward to going to Fir Park on Saturday night. We'll be in here on Sunday. It's going to be absolutely incredible. And you talk about the sort of feel-good factor around Tynecastle. I think your mind jumps ahead to what happens to all the teams if they don't win it. And it's clearly going to sting a lot for Hearts, isn't it? But is that where the pressure is just slightly different, in that eventually you'd be able to still acknowledge a good season? It won't feel like it. You know, I get that. Yeah. But ultimately, like, they've had a good season. That won't change.
Yeah, just before I answer that, you said it a while ago, it feels like Motherwell's going to have a say in the title, and they beat Rangers, and now they've got the two biggest games ahead. I do think that Hearts don't win the league, going on to your original point. I think they'll be devastated. Three games to go, no, 3 points ahead.
They will, but it's just a different type of.
It'll take a few months.
Pressure, isn't it? And devastation.
It'll take a few months, and I think Tony Bloom will sit down and say, "Look, our plan was this. We'll have a chance to do it again." But I just feel like Celtic and Rangers will be a lot more prepared next year. I think it'll be harder next year. I'm not saying Hearts can't do it, but this is the best chance they've got in the next two or three years for me, because Hearts will maybe. Grow with this analytics and the signings, and you've got to remember a lot of these signings McInnes done aren't through Jamestown so far. Finlay wasn't, Shankland wasn't, so he's built a team of characters.
He was already there though.
No, I know, but they had to be renewed. Shaqinis went out and I think he went out in a whim and said, I think
Finlay's the only one. He
Shanklin
said
was out of contract, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, no, but he was, you know what I mean, he's a hard player previously.
He put his hat in the line and said, I need day two players. So as much as they were already there, he built the team around them. He made sure they were there. Now, Jamestown will look a lot different in the next 2 or 3 years, but McInnes knows what it takes for this league, and I think he will be devastated, but he'll know how good a job he's done.
Thank you to Ross. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. He's already mumping and moaning about how desperate he is to play Beat the Pundit. Tony Watt, the world's most enthusiastic Beat the Pundit player. Will it be him or will it be Alex Ray? We'll find out very soon. It could be you though. 01419511025. Let's play. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here, taking some time out of their pre-playoff regime to come and give us their thoughts on everything that's going on at the moment. Of course, Dunfermline edging ahead of Arbroath in the first leg last night. The winner will play Partick Thistle, and the winner of that will play... None of you two want to say, do you? Who do you think? The time of year then? Surely, is the onus on you? You'll surely be going to St Mirren Killie at the weekend.
That's correct, yes. Martin,
keeping
I'll
a wee eye
there
on the possibilities.
Yeah, very much so. We've already penciled that game in, Gordon. So, yeah, I think we're talking about going up to Arbroath as well on Friday night. So,
I've not been invited again.
I was going to say, were you
couple
just?
On, why don't then, you go to Arbroath then?
Were you just on secondment to the analysis
couple
department?
Of games and then
sideline.
Aye,
you and Mark are we overnight and then by the sea? I could see that you two.
Imagine bunk beds. Plastic Thistle expenses.
Keep your calls coming in. We've had all sorts tonight. We've had the other night was a brilliant result for Celtic, a terrible result for Celtic. Rangers can still win the league. People are getting carried away. It's brilliant, and we'll have plenty more of it between now and the end of the season. So let's play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, Beat the Pundit time. For some reason, Tony Watt absolutely loves this. Not all the pundits feel that way. But
you could get me on the 5k minute one morning.
I think absolutely.
Right, we need to do that.
I think George would absolutely love that. I can just imagine.
If I get less than five, I'll donate to charity or something. If I win, I won't take the money, obviously, it'll be.
Do you know what we need to bring back, actually, is I think surely you are, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say loud in about the dressing room and clubs you've been at. Surely there should be players out there who want to come on and take you on.
Oh, they'd get smoked, though.
Remember, Doogie Emery took on Big Marv and didn't go well for him.
Did it, no?
We've had a few of them wanting to come
and step
up. You know
the one is the boy Macbeth, Big
Aye,
Luke.
Big Luke's
he's in there every morning getting at Larry Large. And all he does is talk. He never comes on. You said desperate. We can facilitate it as well. We're kind of getting towards the end of the season.
But the only thing is you'd be missing a normal punter to do it, so we'd maybe need to do a wee
just side
one.
Just an extra.
One. That would be unreal. By the way, I'd put a Play Essentials gift card on the line, any one of them that want it.
Producer Ryan has already been on to say no, he can't play the 5k minute because there's money at stake. I suppose that would probably be
well a friendly one though, after the
like an exhibition
aye,
match.
Right, if I lose I'll donate to Cash for Kids, I'll give a top and a bit of money to Cash for Kids.
Robert is on the line. How are you, Robert?
Not bad, Gordon, sir.
Have you ever played this before, Robert? Most people play for the first time, but we do get returning players every now and then.
I'm a returning player. I've played once before
and
I beat the Dazzler in a tie break.
Oh, I was good. Well, that sounded good to begin with, but when he gets the tie breaks, he's hopeless.
I know, right?
He is hopeless. Oh my goodness. Right, well, let's toss the coin. The blue side will have you play against Tony Watt, and the red side will have you play against Alex Ray. So let's see what we've got on here this evening. It is
Casby face.
It's red.
Oh
for
man,
Alex Ray.
I've been sitting in the Algarve for the last few days.
So it's funny though, because what red represents for you really is the colour of the skin of the Partick Thistle staff.
The colour of my backside after this
to Portugal and got sunburnt over the last few days, you were telling me. Anyway, let's play with Alex and Robert. Alex, we'll give him something else to listen to. Robert, you know the drill. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. Alright,
no problem.
Good man, your 30 seconds starts now. Who scored Celtic's only goal in the last Old Firm game at Celtic Park?
Pass.
Which outfield player started the most league games for Rangers this season?
Nico Raskin.
Name the only Scottish team who won away from home last night in the playoffs.
Finland.
Who's the only English manager in the Scottish Premiership?
Pass.
Name any Scottish team Gary Naismith played for. Just guess a team, quick.
Habs.
Okay, Alex Ray, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good, same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who scored Celtic's only goal in the last Old Firm game at Celtic Park?
Negrin.
Which outfield player started the most league games for Rangers this season?
Outfield player Butland.
Who's the only the only Scottish team who won away from home in the playoffs last night?
I'm going to say Hamilton.
Who's the only English manager in the Scottish Premiership?
English. Pass.
Name any Scottish team Gary Naismith played for.
Gary Naismith. Dundee United.
Okay, Robert, have you done enough?
That's a trick question.
I don't believe so at all. I do not believe so in the slightest.
It's a trick question.
It's not a trick question.
What are you talking about? Right.
Butland.
It wasn't vintage from either of you. Let's go through and find out the damage. Who scored Celtic's only goal in the last meeting at Celtic
Yang?
Park? Yang. You remember Yang. It cut in and
rifled it,
for the
yeah.
net. The outfield player who started the most league games for Rangers this season.
Butland getting cut up.
Was it Tav?
Do you know what's great about it though?
Well, it's Kasama, isn't it?
The fact that he said though, he went outfield. still said it. Unbelievable.
Every Thursday you've got my.
It was Raskin, right. And Robert got it. Robert goes 1-0 in front. However, Alex Ray strikes back straight away, yes, because the only away win last night was for Hamilton. Dunfermline, Alloa, Clyde all won at home. Queen of the South drew. Hamilton won away, 1-1. Who's the only English manager?
I couldn't get it.
Marvin Bartley.
I couldn't get it.
Not in the league for much longer.
But
it is Marvin Bartley.
So many years.
Name any Scottish side Gary Naismith played for. I'm disappointed in you both here. You both get that wrong. I thought he made loads of appearances for Hearts. Well, part of a successful Hearts team at the end of the 90s. Had a late spell for Aberdeen and East Fife. Obviously Everton. Lots of appearances down there as well. So it is a 1-1 and all tiebreaker.
I chose the wrong Edinburgh club.
Oh my goodness. Right, let's go to the tiebreaker.
Come on.
Pretty simple. I'll ask the question. I'll get Alex to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, Robert, okay? Right. The question is this. How many yellow cards did Scott Brown pick up in his Celtic career? Write it down, Alex. How many yellow cards did Scott Brown pick up in his Celtic career? Of course, it is a closest two. So whilst Alex writes it down, give me your attempt, please, Robert.
43.
All right, okay. There you go, my man.
For goodness sake, honestly, Robert.
450 games or something did you not play?
I know. Alex has gone 70. Robert's gone 43. It's 146.
Look, Tony's wow. four off.
Tony wrote 150. Well done.
One every three.
Winner.
Alex Ray, you've done it somehow.
Winner.
He's writing down the word winner on his winner, piece of
winner.
Paper.
I won't be winner tomorrow morning when you
doesn't
see the button.
Doesn't know that Jack Butland doesn't play outfield but managed to pip you. Robert Scott Brown was there for ages. He got loads of bookings.
After that performance, I don't deserve to win it.
Oh, that's very magnanimous of you. That's winner, winner. Fair. Oh my goodness. Anyway, who's your team, Robert?
I played just as bad as my team played.
Ah, that tells so me Rangers. I don't know what's happened tonight, because last night it was like doom and gloom central, which I felt was more representative and understandable of everyone I'd met or read online. Then over a few Rangers fans tonight saying, "Ah, don't give up just yet." Where are you on this?
Normally I'm a eternal optimist, but nah, I think it's done. The best we can hope for is a second spot. Qualifiers.
How high were your hopes? Did you think you had got in the position? Because I feel like a lot of people, obviously Hearts always had the points advantage, but people looked below that in the form and stuff.
A couple of times we were within striking distance, and then we just seemed to like bottle it when it came to the actual pressure game. Mm-hmm. So I was always positive and optimistic, but that game at the weekend, Monday, sorry, it scunnered me.
What in particular? I mean, obviously the outcome, but like, elaborate on the Scunnard factor. What annoyed you the most? Who does it reflect worst on?
How comfortable we were in the first half, and then how by McKinnon's making like one, two slight tweaks, we were absolutely dead and buried. We had no answer to his tactical changes.
Is that quite damning, Alex?
Yeah, I think it's happened in a few games now, Gordon, where in game he hasn't managed to alter the course of it, especially when they come under pressure. And I think that was a prime example versus Hearts at the weekend. And unfortunately, you know, this is what's being labelled at, and we can't change when it's in-game management. And, you know, as I said, I think come the game on Sunday, if he manages to lose that as well, then the pressure will really ramp up. There'll be a clamour for, you know, his position. Me personally, I think the board will back him in the summer again, you know, because obviously he's come in and he's more or less inherited the full squad other than the business he'd done in January. So if you're ripping it up after one transfer window constantly, then it becomes very difficult to get any sustainability. Even if you think about Steven Gerrard's time at Rangers, now it took him a couple of years to get to where he wanted. As long as you're seeing progress. Yeah.
This team has spent a lot, there's a lot more money being spent on this team though, hasn't there, than Steven Gerrard initially. Now granted, I know they're not all Danny Rose players, but cause you've been in the cycle. You referenced Philippe Clement earlier. That is a reasonable position to take, that you've said. I think a lot of people acknowledge that you can't keep doing it. But on the flip side, let's say, well, Rangers, none of you think will win the league, and let's say it's added to a bit and they lose at the weekend or whatever. How much pressure does Danny Rowe go into next season under, and how difficult a starting point is that? Yeah. Do you find yourself at Halloween again, and then you need to change it?
No, that's a very valid point, Gordon, because if they don't get a flyer, it would just put a more additional pressure at the start of next season. And as I said, you know, there's still something to play for this year, Gordon, this season, because you still get the Champions League for runners-up. You know, you have a playoff to play for. So they really need to try and secure that position, because that would buy him more grace. However, if he doesn't manage to do that on the back of a really decent run, if the wheels are coming off for the last four or five games, then it does put you behind the black ball going into next season, because he will get additional support off the board to bring in a few players. A few players will probably go out as well. And then by doing that, then there will be, okay, he's had two windows, so they'll need to see that kind of progression that Steven Gerrard, they felt as if they'd seen at that particular time.
It is an unprecedented scenario, that, Tony, as well, from the point of view that Alex mentions, because normally it's quite simple in Glasgow. You win the league or you don't. You're first or you're second. Whereas now, yes, of course, the priority is winning the league. Like, of course it is, that's undeniable. But third is a whole lot worse than second. So, you know, you've still got that dynamic to add into it, and how different that could look for Danny Rule either way.
I think a bigger blow would also be if Celtic go on and win the cup and Rangers are trophyless. I think he's came in and got a team who were struggling, put a decent kind of structure upon them, and they weren't conceding too many goals. I think they were quite good at the back for a while. Now, people talk about the open play. They need to be better creating chances from open play. He's only had one window, and we all know that January's a tough window. Some of his signings have been all right, some not so good. I think Rangers will back him in the summer. However, if he goes and gets beat on Sunday, I think a lot of fans will be calling for his head. But Rangers can't afford to be changing manager all the time. If they sack him, the next manager needs to be given two or three transfer windows, because it's not worked changing.
Where are you on the manager currently, Robert?
I think he deserves a bit more time, but I'm not a big fan of the hiring and firing that we've been doing lately. It's always, you get that new manager bounce, he's the best in the world, and then we revert back to norm, it appears. But I feel like, as Tony said, January's a very tough window to actually recruit well in. Teams know what you're looking for and where you're struggling, so they can get the extra bit of money out of you, so you're a bit more reluctant to spend. So hopefully in the summer, if he gets a full window, full pre-season, again, back to what I said, me being optimistic, I'd be hopeful we could win the league next season.
Do you think, Alex, it's now, because ultimately when he comes in, inherits a mess, the Rangers fans are not going to care what it looks like if you go and win the league. You know, how could you do whatever you need to do, play whatever formation you want, fine, go and win the league. If you then fall short of that, which it looks like is the case, then people are going to say, and the style's not even there either. You know, see if you were seeing.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's like, you know, the kind of, where do you place the importance now that you know, yeah, for most people that the league's probably gone? If you could even have, you know, progressed, looked like a good team, been entertaining to watch, it gets better, progressively throughout the season, you fall a bit short at the end, you maybe feel a bit.
You can see tangible signs where you're actually, yeah, going, Gordon. And I take your point. When we were sitting in the last break there, and we were talking about the Rangers style of play. You know, you get the number six dropping in between the two centre halves. It becomes laboured, pedestrian, and you never get that head of steam. And now I know the particularly in the first. I think if you look at the first half the other day, that's as good as I've actually seen Rangers over the course of this season. They mm-hmm. pop hearts to death.
They still don't create much, do they, within
no,
that?
No, and again, this goes back to the point at the top end. You know, when you get a number nine who gets between the sticks, there was an opportunity when someone down the right-hand side and flashed it across the six-yard box. And you're looking for your number nine to make. We often speak about it as well, Tony at Thistle. You've got to be in between the sticks, and you get numerous goals because it's flashing across. And I just don't see Chermiti as that man, where he's just kind of busting a gut to get in that position, and he's going to get tap-ins. So
he's better with two up front, I feel.
No, and again, I think Ndidi has been a miss. I think Romans has been a miss going mm-hmm. into this particular as well, and. You know, you go back to people talk about the team that he picked the other day as well, and you're thinking, right, okay, Romans, they come on for the last 15-20 minutes, and I don't know the actual dynamics of that at that particular time, but sports science has a real saying what people can and can't do, and it may well have been a gamble and saying, listen, we're going to play these guys because it's
a couple of weeks left of the
season. That's what I'm saying, Gordon, it's a must win. So whether that was the case or no, but I know the importance that some managers put on sports science. Even, you know, for me, you've got to play your strongest players.
Even when a game was flown towards Hearts, see if you bring in a Romans or change the striker, put Nadiri in and go kind of 4-2-2-2. He doesn't seem to do that. That's the kind of, I don't watch Rangers every week, but that's the kind of things I'm hearing for Rangers fans.
It's too slow to happen.
Yes, it doesn't seem to be reacting quick enough. He seems to let the game go by them before he does that. He makes a lot of half time changes, maybe admits he's got the team wrong and then does it, but he doesn't seem to get the changes right.
Let's thank Robert and find out how Stephen is feeling tonight. Take it away, Stephen.
Afternoon, evening guys, how are you doing?
Thanks, thank you, good. What have you got for us?
So I'm always listening, and there's just some things that frustrate me a bit with the fans are now. And it comes from the fact that I understand that Danny Rowe has made some questionable choices. However, I think when you really look at it properly, he's taken over from Russell Martin's squad, which was built for Russell Martin's style of play. And when some of the new guys came in January and you seen Danny Rowe's style of play being played, and it was entertaining at times, and there was a few times where we were a bit questionable in defence. However, I think that when you then lose to a Romans and Nadiri, that style of play that Danny Rowe wants to have the team doing then goes out the window. And I think I would be intrigued to see how Rangers look when Danny Rowe's got a squad of his own players. I was just wanting to hear what the guys thought of that.
Do you think you've seen enough signs of it, Stephen? You know, you said you found it entertaining. Was it entertaining enough? Do you think we saw enough of what he could promise for next season?
For me, at times, yeah. I mean, when you look at the Hearts game, again, we conceded a couple of goals, but Rangers going forward, we are so exciting. You've seen it in the Aberdeen game at Ibrox, the game against Dundee United, where we did give away chances, but going forward, we looked really, really strong. And I just think if you allow Danny Rowe to bring in players who suit his style instead of, you know, Russell Martin's, then it could definitely be exciting.
Yeah, that's the reason why I think you need to at least give him a couple of transfer windows, because then obviously you will get a flavour of what he's actually bringing to the table, because the majority of these guys are most certainly the previous manager's players. And you know, I think over the PC, I think you landed on the 4-4-2 as well. I think Ndidi came in, he's a handful, he takes the weight of Chermiti. So that was obviously kind of hampered. And I think that was a blow.
But then that that system was exposed a bit in the Motherwell game, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh no, without a doubt. And but again, that was Majorski. I think if he had Nadiri, I think he would be a lot more mobile, a lot more aggressive in the press. He just looks more aggressive, robust in what he's actually trying to do. But you make a valid point, Gordon, because if you go back to that, again, you talk about the tactical changes or the lack of tactical changes. They get past the death in that first half. And, you know, and I think that's one of the things that folk are actually identifying where, you know, you have to be proactive, as Tony says, as opposed to reactive at halftime. You think, by that time, you're two goals down. And on the reflection of that game, you could have been three or four. I do agree with Stephen there that, you know, I still think you give the guy the time in the transfer window during the summer, implement his style. And I think if you look at our place, you know, Mark has probably got about three or four different styles. So, you know, you can adapt very quickly in games with that, with a pre-season under your belt.
Do you see what the vision is, Tony? Because I think Stephen does, which is fine. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm sort of basing this in the fact that loads of Rangers fans tell us that they don't. I go back to maybe when, and I know it was a different style, but when Ange Postecoglou came in, you could still see exactly that style with players that weren't his, and it maybe wasn't quite, you know, you were asking a lot of them, and then after, it gets fine-tuned, and was it David Turnbull played a lot at the start, but all of a sudden it was Rio Hatate, and then, but you could at least, it still looked the same from the start. But to be fair, maybe Danaro just, maybe this isn't his style, maybe it was just all about winning the league. But to go back to what I said earlier, that then doesn't count for much if you haven't managed to go and win the league.
Yeah, even Gerrard's teams, I played left wing against him a couple of times, and I was always pulled back in a triangle. He always had Jim Rios would come, Aribo or Tavernier would come, and they would just suffocate you with passes. And I don't think that teams struggle against Rangers
too predictable
during the game. I think they maybe get beat off them with a set piece or a nice goal for Chirmiti, but I don't think you're coming off against Ange's teams, you came off and you went, oh my god.
And to be fair, that's not a great example, because that's probably to the extreme of what a clear identity
Gerrard's was good that they got you in wee pockets, and they kind of controlled the game, and then they killed you. They got it to Tavernier, they maybe put a cross in, they killed you. Morelos would maybe score. But I think Danny Rules is like, I think teams doing analysis on Rangers will be watching them, and they can definitely hurt Rangers. Don't get me wrong, he's not got his full team of players, which was a good point for Stephen. He did say that if he had like for like changes, he could maybe bring one in from Nadiri or whatever. I understand he's maybe got Miovski, who's not his player, but I just don't know if that two up front is going to win you. I know Hearts do it, I get that, but I don't think it's going to win you a league as nice as maybe Gerrard done it or Ange done it. I don't.
Thank you very much to Stephen. Good time to call. We'll get you on next. Clyde One. Mega May. Yes, we're making it into Mega May with two chances to win life-changing cash every week. So just before the show tonight, it was Michael. He's a dad of 10 children.
Wow.
Who won £250,000. Divvy that up.
50 grand each for the wins.
25. But the most important thing is we've now reset the lines, and it's £300,000 ready to be won on Friday. Text yes to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network weight. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk, where you'll find all the rules for this network competition, or call 03434 269 340. Calls all charged at the standard rate. Over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. on Friday. Text yes to 61025. Good luck.
Memorial Day means serious savings at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,500 store-wide. Tempur-Pedic and Sealy adjustable sets are now up to $500 off. Or get a King Purple mattress for the price of a queen. Plus, free next-day delivery and setup. And our exclusive lifetime price guarantee locks in your best price forever. The Sleep Outfitters Memorial Day Sale, going on now. You don't want to miss it. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
For football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are still here. You might know we need the live stream to zoom out to kind of spoil the surprise. We've got a special guest who's joined us on the show. As you can see, Fred McCauley has popped into the studio because exciting times. Fred, you and Ali McCoist, you're going to reunite all these years on for McCoist and McCauley Live World Cup special at the Armadillo on May the 15th. Are you excited?
Very excited. And good evening, chaps. Thanks very much for having me on. I know I'm here because Ali's not available for anything.
Not at all.
He is the busiest man in the world, and we are delighted that we managed to get a date in the diary that we can both get back together again.
Because the great thing is, for fans of a certain age, they know exactly what this is and they'll remember it fondly. Yep. And are probably terrified at how many years have passed. For young bucks like Tony Watt, tell them what.
How old are you, Tony?
32.
Gosh, you would have been 4 or something like that when we started.
I'd have been, fortunately, yeah. I remember it well, friend. Yeah.
So, Tony Watt, listen to this, right? I've got a wee sheet here that tells you some of the big hitters that they had on the show, right? So it ran from 97 to 99.
Yep.
McCoist and Macaulay. It welcomed celebrity guests in venues around the UK, including Kylie Minogue, Kenny Dalglish, Peter Kay, Tom Jones, and now he's sitting in a room with you and Alex Ray. Talk about
that. Look at that. Is that Boy Feastenders?
That's Dirty Den.
Yeah, he used to haunt me. And that fresh-faced youth in the middle is me. Craig Brown and Kylie. He wasn't meant to be standing behind Kylie, well, but we couldn't get his hands off
her. I did worry about that picture ever so slightly. But I think, where are we, 7:30? I think we play it safe on the family show. Yeah. But yeah, Craig Brown and Kylie Minogue there.
She was magnificent. Kylie was great.
She still is.
Yeah, and so 1997, you know, I can't remember thinking her career was in the doldrums, but it must have been for her to
come. Might have fallen for you anyway, and there's two clowns yeah, next to you.
Exactly. And we got her to Largs.
Brilliant.
I mean, did she like it?
She loved it. But you know this, just one of these strange quirks of timings. She had to leave fairly sharpish and get from Largs up to Glasgow Airport, where I think it was a private jet, down to London, and then London back to Sydney for Michael Hutchins's funeral. They'd been an item.
That's right.
And we didn't know that. And she came up and she fulfilled her promise to come and do the show. God bless her.
So used to broadcast with Kylie Minogue. They did a show from the Eiffel Tower. We're educating you here, and now it's Clydebank with Tony Watt.
Nice scenery around here, isn't it? Lovely place.
But honestly,
saw a few pylons that were looking impressive on the way in.
Couple of ships.
And a lot of, obviously, the parallels, because France 98 was like the big moment, yeah, big bash for you. So tell us a little bit about that and what you're hoping to do this time.
I've been telling people that, you know, I turned to comedy 35 years ago, and professionally I have worked at every World Cup that Scotland have qualified for. So this will be my second. But France was immense, and we managed to get Ewan McGregor on as a guest. He'd just been out doing Moulin Rouge.
Yep.
He'd just done Star Wars, and we managed to get him for tickets for him and his family to go to the game, the Brazil game. Jimmy Hill, the late football pundit.
Legend.
Yeah. And Richard Wilson, the Green Hook actor, and Ulrika Johnson.
Sean Connery, was he
well,
in the
mix? That was the night after. He wasn't on the TV show with us.
So
that was the Buddha Bar.
The party before the World Cup.
That's right. So the party was replicated in Munich for the Euros two years ago. And there is a similar party in Boston on the 12th of June. I'm going out to host, but I don't know if Alistair can join us or not, because I think he's got just too many commitments even for him to manage to get to join us. But Paris was the standout of all the gigs that we did all over the country, and Ireland a couple of times as well. Paris was just incredible. There we are.
Look at that. And McGregor, if you're watching the
McGregor, Macaulay, what a trio. Midfield that would have been.
Do you know what? Do you know what's great about then? This involves your gaffer here, so there's a story involved. The party in Munich, the kind of follow on from Paris, we went, me, Gordon DL, Mark Wilson, we were over, and we walked in, and Darren Fletcher standing there, and Gordon DL's heart broke, shattered into a million pieces when Darren Fletcher came right over to Mark Wilson and started calling him Skip. Because Mark Wilson was the captain of the Scotland schoolboys team, whilst Darren Fletcher was played out of position to accommodate him. And look at the different direction. But Mark had a good career, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking Darren Fletcher here. Because Mark had told us in the show, I was the captain, and Darren Fletcher was.
He didn't believe him, did he?
Come on, rubbish. And sure enough, he was brilliant.
Oh, he was a great
one of the best.
So that's the type of thing. You're going to get some A-listers together in Boston this year.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Well, I don't know what the lineup is for Boston. I'm just going to go out and do my hosting duties.
Happens.
Yeah, I mean, Munich was great fun. I mean, it was incredible fun. People used to say, Alex, after the Munich thing, was it the Tartan Army? And it was pretty corporate. And I said, there was nobody. It was the Sandhurst division of the Tartan Army. Nobody under the rank of brigadier was in the room.
Exactly.
But you know, there was a few big hitters there as well. But the Buddha Bar in Paris was the night after we had done our recording. And the recording went well with a big kick of the ball afterwards in the centre of Paris. And then the next day, Alistair and I had a glass of lunch outside the Intercontinental Hotel that went on till about 5 p.m. And we were meant to be doing report in Scotland.
At six.
And we thought, well, better make a move. So we tried to hail a taxi. And there's a guy that worked at the BBC called Charles Marks. And Charles, for some reason, happened to be in that very street at that very moment. And he clocked us and he came over and he said, did you boys not be down at the banks of the Seine with Jackie Bird? And he took one look in the eyes and he said, I tell you what we'll do, boys. I'll just phone them and let them know that there's terrible traffic problems. And he probably saved our careers because we were steaming.
I was going to say that would have been the end before it started of that long career Ali McCoy's had. So McCoy's and Macaulay live at the Armadillo, 15th of May. What sort of stuff you got up your sleeve that night? You looking forward to?
I think it's an impressive lineup of guests. So when we did the TV show, there was always a sports guest around the country, from not just football, but boxers and stuff like that on as well. And then people from the showbiz world as well. So we've pretty much replicated that, and it's going to be two halves, and we will have, you know, it's almost like one TV show in the first half and then another in the second. We've got big John Gordon Sinclair,
yes,
great actor, crime novelist now, and he's also designed a T-shirt for the Scottish fans. And you can't have him without Claire Grogan, Gregory's girl herself.
Right.
We've got a touch of Hollywood with Dougray Scott. Dougray's coming along.
Big
heavy,
yeah.
I don't know whether he's going to be going back out for the World Cup or not. And then from sport, I think Gordon Strachan is a great booking because, I mean, he's managed Scotland. Obviously, we couldn't get Stevie Clark. And then as we were leading up to getting ready for this gig, Scotland rugby had just come out of a really successful Six Nations. Gregor Townsend, both Ali and I know him, and we know he'd be good value, so got him too. Then you're looking at the thing up there. Have you got Greg Hemphill? I can't see it, but Greg's coming on, who on Chewing the Fat did one of the funniest sketches ever about football managers and assistant managers.
I seen that yesterday. The guy behind McInnes.
That's Alex Ray and Mark Wilson.
The guy behind McInnes was a fan with a maroon skip cap doing the exact same thing as McInnes.
Brilliant. And then, not with us in the Clyde Auditorium, but we've got, I think, one of the greatest impressionists of our time, Lewis McLeod.
Yeah, really good.
Who is known pretty much worldwide now for his Donald Trump impressions. Radio 4 listeners would know him from Dead Ringers. So we're going to be joining him somewhere or other. I suspect and I hope, and it's Esme who's producing the show for us will have lined this up. I hope that we're going to go live to the White House and he'll be there fully trumped up. He'll be bright orange with a wig on, giving it, hello, losers.
And Dougray Scott by 15th of May might be over the fact that Hearts are probably going to win this league.
That could be a sore one, right enough.
Which leads us on nicely because it's great to have Fred on and look ahead to the show. But we can't let him escape some of our madness on here and stuck right into the football discussion. Let's bring in Alan, who is in Edinburgh and he's a Hearts fan. How close does it feel, Alan? Are you getting excited yet?
Hi, how you doing, guys?
I'm
getting very excited, but also very nervous. I mean, I've not known a season like this in my lifetime, and it's quite unbelievable. I mean, I was at the game against Rangers, and I always thought we were going to get a result at home. The game that worries me is away to Motherwell at the weekend. I mean, we've got a good record against Motherwell, but our away record this season has been at times a little bit sketchy. But I think if we get the point, or if we get the win, Rangers are out of the game, and then it's just between Rangers and Celtic and and Hearts for the title, and I think they're going to do it. I've been waiting, I'll be honest with you guys, I've been waiting for the wheels to come off, for the pressure to get too much for them, but they've managed to maintain an excellent standard of football the entire season, and I think they're going to go all the way. I just kind of see it. I kind of see it going wrong.
How impressed have you been with the fact that it's the two wins out of two on the post-split fixtures, a derby, everything that comes with it, the scrutiny, the pressure, the determination from Hibs to stop you, albeit they went down to nine men, you know, and then Rangers, because on the flip side, look how easily Rangers have fallen away, because you lose your first two after the split and it's done for most people. How impressed have you been with the way Hearts have handled it?
Well, I always thought to myself, I thought, you know, the proof in the pudding is going to be when the split, because that's, you know, that's the business end of the season. And, you know, against Hearts, against Hibs, we go a goal down, we come back. We go a goal down against Rangers, we come back. You know, we've had to deal with injuries this season, Shanklin, Devlin, who were outstanding at the beginning of the season and halfway through the season, and then they were out in injury. But every player that's come in has stepped up, and, you know, they've shown the resilience, the grit and the determination to win, and that's what's gotten through. On occasion, it can be a little bit scrappy, a few 1-0s here and there, but, you know, they're grinding out the results when they need it, and I just think that this is the season.
Fred, have you enjoyed the novelty factor? It feels like, obviously, everyone's got their own tribal feelings on it, but then to everybody else, it's just amazing that we've had to wait so long to be this close, and you can hear Alan's a bit nervous.
I'm really enjoying it. I have to say, my brother and all of his family are Hearts fans, so there's a wee bit of a family interest in this, especially his daughter and her kids as well. So, but I, as an ex-accountant, I love the statistics at this time of year, you know. And I was listening to you boys on the way over. You know, they could still win it with a loss and a draw and a win, and I love all of that kind of stuff. And of course, St Johnson, who I supported. Even just, you know, three games out, I was thinking that could be kind of sticky, but we won our last three games and it ended up on an 11-point win for St Johnson.
Sorry, Robin, you two. Just
thanks for reminding us, Fred.
No offence.
Oh, jeez.
They just got over that.
I did a gig with Ray Bradshaw, Jags, yes, for good, right, in the, yes, stand, right? So, I mean,
you've done your bit.
I'm kind of fond of you.
I appreciate that.
But in fact, can I just tell you?
Of course.
First game I took my two boys to was at Fir Hill, and Roddy Grant scored a first half hat-trick against St Johnson, where he'd played beforehand. And my wee boy says to me, "Dad, at half time, so what is it?" He says, "Can I support Patrick Thistle instead?"
I remember Big Roddy well.
Yeah. He's a director at St Johnson.
Yeah. He still is.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah.
I think it's great.
I think none of us know how it's going to unfold. Mm-hmm. We've all got our own thoughts. Massive games ahead of us, none more so than, I think, Celtic Hearts. But it's just every time there's a game, something else. You know, the stats just change a wee bit. And, you know, the bookies must be having an absolute ball with this.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I referenced the Opta supercomputer.
Uh-huh.
I know, right, earlier on, a 1% chance for Rangers. But I feel then duty bound to point out that a couple of weeks ago, the supercomputer had Rangers as sort of, you know, miles ahead. Yeah. I think it was a 46% chance.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So
I think some people need to log into that again, because it's gone down a wee bit.
I don't know who programs. That's the only thing up here. You get suspicious about who programs the Opta supercomputer. Do you know what I mean? It's
probably you.
We're immune from that sort of stuff. No, remember, have you not heard from him? What? He's got Celtic at 0% chance.
No, I know. And he doubled down as well.
I don't know.
He loves it.
His supercomputer's his old Nokia, so that doesn't really bode too well. But I mean, Alan, what did the other night do for you in terms of your belief? Because you're right, there's still a bit to go, but when you just look at, you know, Lauren Shanklin doing his business and Derek McInnes showing tactically what he can do, probably a man management bit in there, I'd love to have heard his halftime team talk. The atmosphere that, you know, is now surrounding you and your fellow Hearts fans, this must be beyond your wildest dreams when you think back to the start of the season.
Aye, I mean, it's mad. I mean, but they've been ahead. They've been at the top of the league since what, September, and you know they've just continued. And you know their home form has been, you know, outstanding. So yeah. I was sure of a result against Rangers the other night. It's the away form, which is the only sort of banana skin, mm-hmm, potentially, but I really do think that, you know, they're going to do it. I just think that the grit and determination there. I mean, what I want to try and avoid is, you know, having to go into the last game of the season, going away at Celtic and looking for a win. I don't want any sort of memories of 86 coming back. So,
I think tensions will be high that day for sure if it gets to that. Thank you, Alan, in Edinburgh. We'll take more of your calls if we can squeeze one in. We'll chat a bit more to Fred when we return as well.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray still here. We're joined by Fred McCauley as well as he builds up to McCauley and McCoy's World Cup special. I think everyone's looking forward to the World Cup and everything that goes along. Alex Ray, the old, can take the boy out of Denison. I heard them asking for free tickets before we came on air. Fred, we quickly shot them down.
That's a
sharp,
but no.
Listen, just in case anybody from McCoy's family is listening, it's you gave me the generosity of saying my name so first, right? But we did a sketch for the very first show, which was me on this. We used to do Vox Pops. You just speak to the punters. So it opens with me saying, I'm going to be in a new show with Ali McCoy's. Do you think it should be McCoy's McCauley or McCauley and McCoy's? And oh, I think McCauley and McCoy's got a good sound to it. I prefer that. Right? And we've got about three or four of them that said that, and then the camera pans back. We're outside Celtic Park.
Yeah, exactly. That's everything can be swayed by your team allegiance in this part of the world. Just before we go on, something I need to mention to you. I want to tell you about Safe Hands, home safety experts who install smoke and burglar alarms, because many of you might know, but you might not. February 2022, there was a bit of a change there where Scottish law requires every home to have an interlinked smoke and heat alarm system installed. It means if your alarms, one of them goes off, they all go off, they're all connected throughout your home. So Safe Hands are a Scottish family business with over 900 five-star reviews, which certainly sounds good. They come to you, handle everything, finished in 25 minutes. If you go to our website, you get more info there, and you can get a free smoke alarm installation if you win, worth up to £230. So go to Clyde1.com. How are all the preparations, Fred, coming along? Is the biggest part of it trying to track Ali down amidst all these many jobs that you mentioned?
Yeah. So we have got a Zoom call on Friday morning, and there is a script of sorts. One of my favourite things from bygone years was somebody did a TV review and they said that the biggest laugh that they had on a Thursday night was watching Fred McCauley and Ali McCoy's trying to read the auto cue. And we were going, there was no auto, there wasn't even a script, let alone auto cue. So, but this year, because it's live, we're going to have a sort of skeleton, you know, just the kind of
running
script
order.
That you boys will have, a running order, and we'll have a basic introduction for each of the guests. We're leaving it to Esme to decide what the best blend is for the, you know, the people coming on. So because we're doing it in two halves, hopefully everybody will stick around and we can do a big sort of walk down finale. In our pantomime costumes.
This is the great thing about the World Cup, is that sort of cultural impact it can have as well. Obviously the priorities that the team goes there and wins and gets through and all that sort of, but all the stuff that goes along with it that we've been robbed of for so long.
I know, and there's I see adverts all the time now for fan zones here in Scotland for when the matches are getting played out in the States. I mean, I would love to have seen Scotland playing games in Mexico City, just to see the Tartan Army up against a drugs cartel, just to see. You imagine a wee Tartan Army guy with a leader of a drugs cartel in a headlock telling, calm down, wee man. Have a dram and calm down.
But it is that side of it, isn't it, where, you know, I wonder if the one thing that's a little bit of a shame is the kickoff times over here. That's the bit I can't quite shake. Yeah. Like, it's still great, but I don't know, put my own personal lens on it. I mean, my daughter's five, so I'm sure she would have watched the games up to a point, but is she into it enough to watch it at 2 a.m? I don't know. And it's the one that I hope it still has an impact here.
Yeah.
I think it will do.
I think it will. But the other thing is, you know, what is the impact going to be out in the States? I hear anecdotally that, you know, 90% of the Americans don't even know that what's going to be happening, you know?
Yeah, I think that will really vary depending on where you go as well. If it's
Canada would have been great.
Yeah.
Toronto.
What a city.
Have a wee look and see where Scotland can play their semi-final. See if it's in there.
It's only England that have qualified for the semis, isn't it?
Already get the name, get that penciled
they're
in.
They're already easy picking out who they're going to be playing, as they do every tournament.
But anyway, before we let you go, before we all go, in fact, you're not getting let go anywhere. Yes. Tony's got the Champions League to watch. He was telling us tickets still available. People can come down and see you guys in action.
They can indeed. You know, it's one of the unusual things about putting a show like this on is they have different price tickets, and the dear ones have gone first. So people obviously want to be down the front and see what's going on. They are available, sec.co.uk or just Ticketmaster. And I should also mention that we've got music with the brilliant Nathan Evans, who I know is going out to the States as well.
Nice Scottish
yeah, the
feel
guy
to that
did the Wellerman. And what a voice. I did a gig with him in Glasgow Cathedral in the run up to Christmas. That boy can sing.
There you go. Well, McCoyston Macaulay. That's life. SEC Armadillo, 15th of May. Get your tickets. I'm sure you will not be disappointed. That sounds like a top night. That Alex Ray and Tony Watt.
Cheers.
Thank you. Thanks, for man. Your just sort of regular service. You know, doing anything as exciting as well, you might be in the playoffs. Let's be the last time we'll see you before
yes.
the first leg.
Yes, that's correct, John.
We wish you well.
Thank you.
All the best, whoever it is against Dunfermline or both. And as to everyone else, thank you very much for your company tonight, for all the calls and tweets, and those of you who just listened quietly or shouted at the radio. We do it again tomorrow night from 6 o'clock, and already we'll build up to those big games at the weekend. So enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, and we'll see you tomorrow.